So you met these two fellows, though, who become partners, and what was, tell us who they were and how they amplified your ambitions and your sense that this was realistic.
So when I met Oliver, I had just come back from traveling and I had just really started to focus on songwriting. And so he said, I'll help you arrange some songs and we can, make a recording. And I had these ambitions to make an EP and take it up to Boston with me to go to school.
Yeah.
I had just decided I had met some people in Asheville who were trying to get up to Boston to go to Berkeley. Hmm. So I thought, I'm going to try to go to Berkeley too. That seems like a hub of where young people who want to play roots music and want to, learn to write songs, that's like a hub. I'm gonna try to get up there.
At least it became one then. It wouldn't have been true 10 years before, but at that point it was the hotbed.
So yeah. Right on. So this was like 2009 probably,
right,
for me. And, so that I had that in mind as this destination, and I wanted to make a recording of some original songs and go up to Boston. And, that recording, it became a duo project instead, which, looking back, I think that I was just not secure enough in my identity as a songwriter. I was super fearful. I know it was a big leap for me to go from being a fiddle player to opening my mouth and singing harmonies, let alone saying like this, it was like saying, this I believe, like I'm going to sing this song. And what if people think that it's true? Or what if people think that, what if people can like, it was so vulnerable. It was like such a leap for me. And because I loved writing, I kept journals, I wrote stories, I wrote poems, like all of my life up until that time. But songs were this new field and they were very, very exciting and scary. And so I think once I had, when I met Oliver and he'd been traveling and playing music in a handful of bands for a couple of years, he was 5 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a certain amount okay, like this person like kind of knows the ropes, and I can feel, I think, like, feel protected by that. And so that's been, I mean, I'm personally now just working through a lot of questions that I still have about what about that time in a person's life and the choices that I made and the choices that that I see other young creative people make about, where making, I guess, like making decisions quickly, and where you're making the choice to leave. I left Berkeley after 3 semesters and started touring full time,
mm-hmm,
with that band. And I learned so much in that time, of like real world touring experience.
Yeah.
But when you're learning one thing, there's definitely other things that you're not focusing on.
Oh, so some of that awe you're describing at being an artist, a speaking songwriter, you in a sense maybe put aside for a while, and now you're kind of feeling your way through that again, or did in the ramp up to the release here of this
record?
Yeah,
like I was so I was in awe of songwriting as an art form, and I was and I really wanted to do that. And then suddenly I don't want to say I just like let myself be absorbed by another identity, but I think that I very quickly moved over into being a bandmate and really took seriously like what it would mean to be a band member and a bandmate instead of and it really suited my personality.
Great.
Because I wanted to be helpful to a collective situation. And I didn't necessarily want to lead anything or, it was scary enough to be singing songs and to have the camaraderie and the companionship of people who were willing to, leave behind whatever else, where I was leaving behind certain things in order to pursue going on the road full time. They also were, and for us to make that collective sacrifice. And it's once that's in motion, it's I had no clue at the time how difficult it would be to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I'd said yes at one point, and then suddenly you're several years in, and then you're, you know, 6 years in and 7 years in.
Yeah.
And I think that the fact that I wanted to make an EP of my songs to take up to Boston, it just haunted me, you know, because it was like in some ways it was an unlived life that I still can live. And I, and yet I'd already had this really beautiful and crazy journey with the Stray Birds, and we'd gone to places that I had never imagined and never dreamed of doing. You know, it was a really, you know, like high highs and low lows, like any young band. And the other thing is, I think, and I'm, yeah, when you're in something like that, I really did intensely care about that band, and I do care about Charlie and Oliver as individuals, and when you're in something, you're just in the thick of it, and there's no perspective. And so it's even now, like 6 months out or so, I look at it differently, and I'm like, oh yeah, that was just like, I can have reverence for that as a part of my life and as a really beautiful expression that I was like a part of for 7 or 8 years. But now I feel grateful for it, but I also am very grateful that I'm pouring my energy into something new.
Even before we started talking today, I got the sense from some of the final news around the final tours of Stray Birds and some of the bio that you were very deliberate about winding that down and giving yourself room to ramp this up, and just hearing how thoughtful you are about different stages of your life and the way you reflect on it, I'm doubly convinced that that's true. And what do you think you got out of, and you're nodding, so what do you think you got out of that kind of care and deliberate, you know, sense of arriving at a statement like this?
Well, the first thing that feels true and that I really didn't realize right away is that when I started writing these songs on Adaptations, and when I went into the studio and started recording them, it was like, to me, that was the beginning of the transition.
Yeah.
Because I'd experienced that first love again, where I felt like this is that thread that I need to follow. This is like who I am. Like I went to Boston, intending to figure out how to write a song.
To be clear, were Stray Bird songs solo written by the various, all co-written? Just to be clear, were you writing My DaVitri songs and saying, here guys, and then having them work it up?
I was writing the songs that I was singing. Oliver was writing the songs singing. We sometimes wrote together. And then for the very last record, we all wrote together.
Great.
Every song was a three-way co-write.
Okay, that's helpful background. Great.
Yeah.
So let's step to the studio, and you work with a guy named Dan Nobler, and tell us a little about who that is and how that, you know, affected the ability to go forward and do this.
The Stray Birds did a session with Dan for Mason Jar, which is a group of, I guess, just a group of like engineers and producers in New York at a time. And then Dan moved to Nashville but was making these kind of compilations like for Mason Jar each year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Stray Birds covered a Bob Dylan song, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And I remember singing that song, like Dan was kind of like producing and engineering the session. And I just like had this certain sense of being listened to in a different way by him, like as a somebody on the other end of the microphone. And I just felt really really acknowledged and heard as a singer. It's kind of an identity and something that I had to grow into, like, because I loved songwriting so much, I definitely, you know, then had to kind of grow my confidence as a singer. And I just felt like really empowered, like, in Dan's presence and the way that he listened and the way that he encouraged my phrasing and things that I had, you know, that had felt kind of restricted in certain ways,
right.
Either the genre that the Straybirds were working in or the fact that we were always singing three-part harmonies, which relies on a certain amount of compromise in how you might phrase something or how you might sing something.
And besides him, what else had to come together to make it possible? And did you know that you had the, you know, clear shot at making a solo record and having it out in early 2019 when this all went down? Or was this a lot more feel your way in the dark?
No, this was like, so much of this was feel the way in the dark, mm-hmm. like truly. And, when I went to Dan to, you know, I went to him because I'd had that moment of feeling really understood. And so also he was just, you know, there's a ton of producers in Nashville, but I didn't really go around. I just thought, I'm just going to go to Dan, my friend, and like play him some songs. And so I played some songs for him and he said, you know, I think you're ready to make a record. And so that was a goal, but then he said, let's put a band together and let's make some demos. And then that demo session, which was like 3 days in June, just that was when it really was coming together so well. And it was like, okay, we just made half a record. Like, right. And I remember at the end of that week, Dan was like, do you want to get this same band together and finish this record? And maybe he knew that that might happen, but he'd like, that way there was no pressure. It was like we were just making demos. Like we could just feel out if this was the right band, if this kind of expansive, not acoustic sound was right for me. If I felt, you know, like how I felt in that room and how I felt with those players. And it was great. So I was like, I also just was, it was like play because I felt good. Like the songs were so strong and I didn't have any... I was really relying on Dan a lot for painting and coloring just like the setting and the mood and, you know, for him to kind of pull that out of everyone. And he works really closely and really well. He and Jason Berger, who played drums, kind of have a really close relationship and have just their own language and sensibility about.
And in the not acoustic department, you work with Anthony DaCosta, the guitar player, who I think hung the moon and could do anything for anybody. I mean, he's the greatest. So.
Yeah, and Anthony was such an early champion of me as a writer. Like, he cornered me in a gas station one time with my friend Dom Billet, who's a drummer, and they were just like, when are you making your solo record? And like, how can we help? Like, what's happening, Maya? What's going on? Because they knew I was always writing way more songs than were able to fit on the Stray Birds records. And with the Stray Birds records, I was, you know, there were three people in the band. There was only a certain amount of space for writing. And also, I was just writing all the time. Like, and I was also writing for that band, like for three-part harmonies. I was writing for songs that I would sing well in that context.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the side, I was, you know, starting in like 2016 or so, I really started to just be tapping into these new songs that just I didn't believe belonged in that context anymore.